Today's Bible reading is from Matthew 5, verses 33-37. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, and do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Integrity. Well, there was a businessman who was in hospital and very, very sick on his last legs. And the chaplain comes into his ward and sits with him, and the prognosis and diagnosis has not been good. And the chaplain says, "And what would you like me to be praying with you about today?" And the businessman says, "Well, pray that God would heal me." He says, "Well, I'm always happy to pray that God will heal you." And he says, "You know, chaplain," he said, if God heals me, then I'm going to give $1 million. He said, "I'm a wealthy man, but I'm going to give $1 million to the church just to use in a way to continue chaplaincy and the like taking place in this hospital because it's such a valuable thing." And he goes, that's a very honourable thing. And he said, "I make that promise to you today, chaplain." He goes, "That's great." So they sat there and prayed together, and you know, 3 weeks later the guy was better and he was out of hospital and he was walking down. He was down at his local cafe and he's there, and the chaplain walks past and says, "Oh, g'day, how you going?" "Oh, you know," they're having this lovely chat, and he says, "You know, it's so good that God's healed you. Have you found out a way that you're giving $1 million to the work of God and chaplaincy in the hospital into the future?" And the businessman says, "Nah. Shows you how sick I must have been to have made a promise like that to God." Wow. Integrity. How many people have used God as the vending machine and not realized that it was actually a challenge of integrity in the middle of it? "Oh God, give me this and I'll do that. Oh God, do..." No, there's no integrity in that. If you're not going to keep your promise, if you're not going to be a man of your word or a woman of your word, don't make the promises you're not going to fulfill. You know, we just got to have a quick review here because the parallels in Matthew 5 and the Ten Commandments are just amazing. You know, the first four Ten Commandments talked about how we connect to God and how God connects to us and how to keep that relationship healthy. Well, at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually says, you know, God's still keeping his side of the bargain, but he wants you to reconnect in, you know. The Beatitudes, you know, blessed to you. You'll be happy if you can connect into God. You'll be happy. But you'll be happy because of Christ living in you. You'll be happy because Christ has come to be part of your life. You'll be happy because... And so it's a beautiful kind of thing. And then the thou shalt start happening. Thou shalt not kill, adultery, lying in the Ten Commandments. And we've all had that over the last couple of weeks. Well, this one week we get to lying, which is about integrity, isn't it? And most of them start with these, you know, Jesus turning around and say, "You've heard it said." So obviously this "you've heard it said" is where the Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers, the scribes, they're teaching this thing that is actually so disconnected from the intention of the law, but it's a fundamentalist reading. And we went back that in the one on thou shalt not kill, basically, you know, don't murder. Where the Pharisees and Sadducees were saying you could almost do anything, whip a person within an inch of their life, just as long as they didn't die, you haven't committed murder. And Jesus was saying, no, the intention is where your heart starts to get anger against that person and seethe and then get to that point. So it's really good how Jesus is challenging the early church, but he challenges us today too, brothers and sisters. You know, back in 1992, there was a book that was released in America. It was called The Day America Told the Truth. I was fascinated at the time, and I actually Googled it again just to check on some of the stats that were in there, because I remember I was astounded. Because you remember 1992? Back then, I think it was 95% of Americans claimed to be Christian. And that there was nearly a 40% attendance at church, regular, you know, that's weekly attendance at church. It was Christendom was reigning supreme. So this first mass survey on morality is undertaken across America, a massive, massive base of people. It's not just a quick 5-minute questionnaire. It talks about sex, crime, rape, punishment, drugs, a lot of taboo topics, theft. It's got everything in there. And the backgrounds of people were pulled apart. No, none of these people were identified by name, but you identified by faith, gender, colour, education, wealth status, and so many other, whether you had disabilities and things like that. Faith. Yep, even that was in there. 91% of people in America, 91% stated they lied on a regular basis. 86% said they lied to their parents regularly, and 69% said they lied to their spouses consistently. 75% said they lied to their friends. Like, this is in 1992. Almost, and this is the bit that got me, was almost the same number of Christians stole from their workplaces non-Christians. And they found that Christians were just as likely to falsify their tax returns, commit plagiarism, give bribes, and illegally copy computer programs, and selectively obey the law. You know what, church? Integrity matters. The church loses its potency when our morals, standards, and voice is no different to that of society. No different. The early church grew because it was different to society. It showed love, compassion, grace, mercy, and it had integrity. It had integrity. And it's no surprise that Jesus throws this integrity passage right in the beginning of the training manual of Sermon on the Mount. It's no surprise. Because you can do everything. You know, like, I'm not killing anyone, I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. But if you're a liar, if you're not a person of your word, who's going to trust the words that come from you? Who's going to trust your actions? Who's going to let you near them? There's three explicit Old Testament passages on oaths. And we're dealing with oaths today, taking of oaths. In Leviticus 19:12, do not swear falsely by my name and say profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Yeah. Numbers 30, verse 2, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. That's pretty much got it wrapped up there, hey? Deuteronomy 23:21, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. This is known to the people who Jesus is bringing the Sermon of Mount to. They're not uneducated to what oaths are all about. Basically, if you make a promise, you keep it. You say you're turning up at 5 p.m, you turn up at 5 p.m. You say you're going to play in a band or in a sports team, you go turn up and play. I remember we used to say to our boys, is this the sport you want to play this year? They go, yes. No. This, you see, when we sign you up for this, there's 20 weeks of this sport you are going to play. Are you understanding? Yes, Dad. You can't come to me 5 weeks in and say, I don't want to play this anymore, because I'm going to drag you there every week, because you are going to learn what it is to be a person of your word. And I remember one year, about 4 weeks in, one of them came, Dad, I don't want to play anymore. Sorry, champ. Sorry. 2 trainings a week, game on Saturday, you are there. It's tough love, but it teaches them to be a person of their word. They might not enjoy it, but if they've said they're going to do it, they're going to follow it through. And even today, my boys, you know, if they give me their word they're going to do something, on the whole, they'll do it. Apart from clean their bedroom with one of my kids, but we won't go into that. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 5:5 gives us a little bit of a helping hand here. It says, it's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. There's a voice of wisdom in Ecclesiastes. You know, in my wedding services, I just love weddings. I've got one coming up in a couple of weeks' time. The couple make promises, and just before they do, I say words to the effect of, do not enter into this lightly. In other words, does your heart enter into this marriage or just your words? And that's what I say to them in their marriage counselling. Does your heart enter into this marriage or just your words? So you can say all the words you want, but all the words you want, if there's no heart in this marriage, your marriage will probably not survive for the 30, 50, 100 years that it needs to. Keep the integrity of your heart, which flows to your words and your actions. See, if your heart is set on a good marriage, then your words and actions will flow through. But if you just kind of keep saying the good action, doing the good actions and saying the good words, but your heart's not set on it, it won't work. It doesn't matter whether it's your marriage, whether it's your business, whether it's relationships with other people, it just won't work. Time after time in the Old Testament, we hear the prophets crying out to God for someone, anyone, who would live with integrity and to do the will and work of God. They begged God. They begged God to send them people who do not lack this truth in their heart. Yes. See, the law was clear about its teaching concerning lying and stealing and making oaths or vows. And it was pretty simple. Do not steal. Do not make false oaths. Simple, right? Do not lie. Simple, right? No. Actually, no. As usual, the religious folk got hold of a law and started saying, just how much can we get away with before we commit a sin or break the law? I mean, what's the limit? Oh, our youth group, we used to try and turn our youth group leaders inside out by seeing how far we could push, things. You can make and break all the promises you want with your neighbours by these scribes and Pharisees. You can do it with the break and make and break them all with your friends and family and not commit a sin. But if you make a vow and swear an oath to the Lord, then you cannot break it because then you'd commit a sin. So make the vows to your family, make it to your friends, just don't swear it to God, and yeah, you got the get out of jail free card. Oh. So in Jesus' last sermon in Matthew, so we're in the first sermon in Matthew, and here he is at the start of his ministry training people up, telling them to be people of your word. Do not make oaths, you know, blindly. Do not do that. Well, in his last sermon, he comes and he says in Matthew 23:16-19, woe to you blind guides. Okay, he's talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes, the blind guides. Woe to you blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound to that oath. In other words, the offering to God. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar, and their offering again, then they're bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Yep. They had twisted and turned these oaths into being, you can basically just lie to anyone and everyone, and as long as you're not doing it to God, it's all good. Folks, there's no integrity in that. You and I know that. So what people were doing was making promises and then swearing to keep their promise by saying, I swear it be done by the temple, I swear it be done by the throne of God, or I swear by the earth, by Jerusalem, by the altar, by my head, by my left pinky. Basically, their oaths were meaningless, and they had no intention of ever keeping their promise. And this is not lost on Jesus' listeners at all. Far from it. They. Everyone wants people with integrity. You want to deal with people who are truth tellers. You want to deal with people who are going to tell you that when they're going to do something, they actually are going to do it. The promise keepers of today, you know, this is what we want. People who, when they say they're going to do it, they're going to do it. But I wonder whether the promise keepers sometimes still exist. Is integrity still in the DNA of humanity as richly as it should be? Or has it been washed out or diluted by sin? I had a person tell me one day, I swear on my mother's grave. Now, being the cheeky person I am, I said, oh, is she dead? Well, no. Oh. So how do you swear on a grave if she's not dead? His retort was beautiful. I swear on my mother's life. I said, well, that's good, but what if you don't keep your promise now? Does that mean you're going to go kill your mum because your promise failed, so your mum's life's got to fail? He said, well, you know what I mean. I said, actually, no, I don't know what you mean. I just want to know whether you're going to tell me the truth and do something. Because if you're not going to do it, don't tell me you are. And don't make up all these boisterous kind of, I swear by, really? Swear by nothing. Means nothing. You know, it's this emphasis. I don't even know where this whole my mother's grave or my mother's life thing came from. Who does that stuff? Jesus says, this is what you've heard and being taught, but and being said, but I tell you, do not swear at all. You've been hearing, oh, I swear on this front. Jesus says, don't swear at all. Just don't do it. If you're not going to keep it, don't do it. But Jesus is not telling us to never make promises. Far from it. What he's telling his listeners and telling those around him is that no matter what you swear by, it all actually belongs to God, and therefore all promises are made before God and human beings. No promise is meaningless, and somebody is counting on you. That's right, somebody's counting on you. See, in the theology of God owns everything, it doesn't really matter what you swear by. God owns it. God is it. God's in it. So if you're going to make an oath, if you're going to make a promise, be a person of your word. And that's what Jesus wants you to be. Just a person, a man or woman filled with integrity. Willing to go and follow through, even if it costs you. Even if it costs you. And if you do get it wrong, never be afraid to go back and apologize. So be careful about making the promise before making it. Sometimes we just say things off the cuff to get people out of our hair. Oh, yeah, we do. Think about that with children, if you have children. I know, you know, you make promises that you cannot keep or you do not keep. And you say, so you might say to your children and something and you don't keep that promise, and that actually breaks down trust with them and you. You might go, no, it doesn't, it's just parenting. They don't need to know. Well, so before you promise them something, make sure it's something that you can actually follow through on and not something you have no intention of doing. Just stop and think about it. And include disciplinary actions. If you keep doing that, I'm going to kill you. Oh, well, you didn't kill me last time. I'm still here. Don't promise what you're unwilling to deliver on. You know? Jesus tells us simply, let your yes be a yes and your no be a no. Then Jesus tells us anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Wow. What does he mean by that? Well, basically, I think Jesus is telling us that when we make a choice, it could become a lie. Or if we make a promise we never intend on keeping, we're actually doing the devil's work because we're actually telling lies and we're building up disunity and disharmony within believers. And as believers, we don't want to be part of the devil's work. We just want to give people an honest answer of yes or no. You know, it's funny, in some of the cultures of people I deal with, they always say yes. Even if they mean no, they just say yes. I know people in my life who, if you ask them to do something, it's yes, 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 okay, I'll do that. And they'll never do it. It's just because they can't face saying no to you. I know. I found it hard for many years to say no to things. And, you know, sometimes in some of the leadership roles I've been in, I've gone, well, no, I'm in this leadership role, I must do it. Actually, there's been times where I've now said, you know what, no, that's not going to happen. And are you a person of your word? Is it done? You know, you don't. The people. Oh, is it in writing, Nick? Is it in a legal contract? You know, if you promise to do something, be a person of your word. Let me give you an example of that. Harman Kardon make the pickup systems for the Takamine guitars, and you know, you all know I love my Takamine guitars. And Takamine in 1978, I think it was really struggling. It wasn't making any inroads into the US market at all. Beautiful guitars, just not making any inroads. Their major competitor, the main guitar in America at that stage for performance and work, was the Ovation guitar. The Fenders, the Gretsches, all those other guitars, they were coming up, and they were doing some good stuff. And Martin had brought out a cracker of a guitar, the D50, D28s, and things like that, and they were just good. Takamine could not sell guitars to save themselves in America, and they were just baffled. The guys from Harman Kardon came along and said to this Japanese company, look, we make military hardware, and we can put a pickup system into your guitar that basically doesn't feed back and gives you the most crystal clear, beautiful, clean tone, and people will be in awe of it. And the Japanese says, but we're purists. We don't want to put pickups in our guitars. They said, you've got to put a pickup in your guitar if you're going to want to sell it. So they went away and Harman Kardon put some pickups into these guitars, and the Japanese were just blown away by the quality of the sound. Do you know, on a handshake, that deal was done. And so that year, I think there'd been under, I think it was about 300 to 500 guitars were sold. The next year, there was over 34,000 Takamine guitars sold. Just picture that. But it was done on a handshake, and the handshake was this: we'll supply you with Harman Kardon pickup systems for your guitars for life. We'll update them and change models when needed, on the proviso that we get $100 US for every guitar you sell. No contract. No contract. Handshake. Still stands today. Beautiful, isn't it? Still stands today. They're people of their word. It was for life. Integrity in our lives matters. And in his sermon, Jesus has talked about being accepted and love, and how real happiness and joy comes from the Holy Spirit's presence in people. You know, it's beautiful. Then he goes on to say how this will make them potent as salt and light into the world. He then humbles us all by reminding us how we are righteous sinners and saved by grace, but we're able to give this gift to other people and seek them out. What a precious thing. Following through on this, we're people of peace. And it starts with our first thoughts, not our last action. And it's our new nature that is taking hold of us. He then talks of faithfulness and love in our relationships, not only with our spouses, but with each other. Integrity, then, into our personal lives. Yeah, the integrity of our personal lives with our love lives and everything else, and our relationships. And then he comes to this week and he challenges us on how we are publicly seen and how others gauge our integrity and how we are the people of our word. And if that is the case, then we can be trusted. Because can you be trusted? If you can be trusted, the word of God, the gospel, is so much more potent. See, are we a people who can be counted on, or do we tell lies and deceive, and worse? See, this is, now gives us the ability to tell the gospel well into our community. If we can't, then we need to go and check what's not working for us and really deal with it. You may have the best testimony in the world, but it'll fall on deaf ears if people think you can't be trusted, because they'll just think you're lying about it. You know, each one of these little 3-4 verse segments that we're going through at the moment, they're the building blocks for young Christians. And they get everything into place in the right order so that they're empowered and equipped to bring the good news of Jesus to their community, just as you are, brothers and sisters. You know, what a journey we're on. Every week, these few small verses just keep encouraging us to open our eyes and how best we can be Christ's ambassadors here in our communities, wherever you put your feet. Next week, the challenge is to love our enemy. And so the focus will move to our expression of faith. See this journey we're on? What a beautiful journey, hey? So this week, may God encourage you as you continue to grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If he's stirring your heart, if he's stirring your heart about something at this time, write it down and pray about it over the next month, because maybe God's going to do something amazing in you, but he just needs you to pray it through first. Hey, have a blessed week.